The question could be asked, why? Why do bad things happen to good people? Why do those who call themselves Christians have to experience pain and suffering? If God is a God of love, then why does He allow the things to happen as they do in the world? As a sequel to his book, Peace Child, Don Richardson has written Lords of the Earth. In it, he tells the story of Stan Dale, another missionary to Irian Jaya, Indonesia, who ministered to the Yali tribe in the Snow Mountains. The Yali had one of the strictest known religions in the world. For a tribe member even to question, much less disobey, one of its tenets brought instant death. There could never be any change or modification. The Yali had many sacred spots scattered throughout their territory. If even a small child were to crawl onto one of those sacred pieces of ground, he was considered defiled and cursed. To keep the whole village from being involved in that curse, the child would be thrown into the rushing Heluk River to drown and be washed downstream. When Stan Dale came with his wife and four children to that cannibalistic people, he was not long tolerated. He was attacked one night and miraculously survived being shot with 5 arrows. After treatment in a hospital, he immediately returned to the Yali. He worked unsuccessfully for several years, and the resentment and hatred of the tribal priest increased. One day, as he, another missionary named Phil Masters, and a Dani tribesman named Yemu were facing what they knew was imminent attack, the Yali suddenly came upon them. As the others ran for safety, Stan and Yemu remained back, hoping somehow to dissuade the Yali from their murderous plans. As Stan confronted his attackers, they shot him with dozens of arrows. As the arrows entered his flesh, he would pull them out and break them in two. Eventually, he no longer had the strength to pull the arrows out, but he remained standing. Yemu ran back to where Phil was standing, and Phil persuaded him to keep running. With his eyes fixed on Stan, who was still standing with some 50 arrows in his body, Phil remained where he was and was himself soon surrounded by warriors. The attack had begun with hilarity, but it turned to fear and desperation when they saw that Stan did not fall. Their fear increased when it took nearly as many arrows to down Phil as it had Stan. They dismembered the bodies and scattered them about the forest in an attempt to prevent the resurrection of which they had heard the missionaries speak. But the back of their unbreakable pagan system was broken. And through the witness of the two men who were not afraid to die in order to bring the gospel to this lost and violent people, the Yali tribe and many others in the surrounding territory came to Jesus Christ. Even Stan's fifth child, a baby at the time of this incident, was saved reading the book about his father. The question could be asked, why? Why do bad things happen to good people? Why do those who call themselves Christians have to experience pain and suffering? If God is a God of love, then why does He allow the things to happen as they do in the world? I must confess to you, I do not have all the answers when it comes to the great questions of human suffering. If it is any consolation, people have been asking those very questions since the beginning of time and will continue to do so until time is no more. What we can do is look at some key verses and principles from God's Word that address this issue and hopefully gain some understanding there. We have come to the very last message in our series entitled, The Secret of Happiness. This 10-message series is a study of Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12, a passage known as the Beatitudes. In our previous programs, we have studied the 8 Beatitudes that are given in this passage. What I want us to do in the next few minutes is to look again at the last 3 verses of the Beatitudes and seek some understanding to the questions of human suffering. Listen as I read Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through 12. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Now in our study of this eighth beatitude in our last broadcast, we spent time focusing on the reality of suffering. Certainly no one would argue the point that there is terrible human suffering in our world and has been since time began. And no one could argue that suffering affects God's people just the same as it does ungodly people. The reality of suffering for Christians was confirmed by Jesus in John 16:33 when he said, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." My friend, suffering for a child of God is not a question of if, but when. Trials and difficulties are promised to the human race, and Christians are certainly not exempt. But the reality of suffering is not the real question in our minds. We know of that reality. The question is why? Why does God allow suffering? Why does He allow tragedy? As I have already said, I don't fully know the answers to those questions. However, there is a degree of insight into those questions that is to be gained. First, God allows you and me to suffer because of our basic sin nature. It was sin that brought pain and suffering into this world in the Garden of Eden. That sin nature has passed into every person of every generation, and we cannot get away from the basic sin nature within us and the curse that is upon this world. There is suffering because of sin. Second, we not only suffer because of the general presence of sin in the world, we sometimes suffer because of our specific sin. The Bible says this is a mark of sonship. Because we are the sons of God, He is going to discipline us for wrongdoing. Listen to God's word in Revelation 3:19. "Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline." And from Psalm 94:12, "Blessed is the man you discipline, O Lord, the man you teach from your law." And from Hebrews 12:5-6, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when He rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those He loves, and He punishes everyone He accepts as a son." Third, sometimes we suffer because of the sin of others. This is perhaps the most difficult to understand. Why should an innocent person suffer because of someone else? Just a week before this broadcast was recorded, we had a very tragic accident in the North Dallas area. A pickup truck with a drunk driver crossed the median of a highway, became airborne, and crashed on top of a car coming from the opposite direction. Killed in the other car were the driver, a young Christian mother, and her 2-year-old daughter, and an unborn child she was carrying. Only in God's wisdom and sovereignty can we begin to understand such tragedies. This side of heaven, there is much we cannot understand. We can only trust the faithful hand of God. As someone has said, when you cannot trace His hand, trust His heart. Fourth, sometimes we suffer for the glory of God. It is important to understand that all suffering can bring glory to God. However, some suffering is designed for that purpose. Listen to these verses in John 9:1-3. "As He went along, He saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked Him, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?' 'Neither this man nor his parents sinned,' said Jesus, 'but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life,'" or in other words, that Jesus may be glorified. And fifth, sometimes we suffer for righteousness' sake. Simply because this is a sinful world under the control of Satan, Christians will have to suffer persecution for doing what is right and glorifying to God. The eighth beatitude speaks to this issue and offers blessing and reward for those who are willing to undergo persecution for Jesus' sake. However, my friend, more important than the reality and reasons for suffering are the results of suffering. You see, in the midst of our suffering and trials, there are some building programs going on that we often overlook. One of those building programs is Satan's. It is a work of trying to create anger and bitterness within us. He attempts to create resentment towards God for allowing such difficulties to come into our lives. Many Christians have allowed Satan to accomplish this evil and destructive work in their lives. But the other building program going on is God's. His work is not to make us bitter, but better. James chapter 1 tells us that trials will make us mature, lacking nothing. God uses the suffering to create Christ-like character and unwavering faith. What are you dealing with today, my friend? What struggle or difficulty is getting the best of you? Are you willing to turn loose of your anger and resentment towards God? If so, He is prepared to begin a building program in your life that will ultimately lead to joy and peace in your heart and great glory to His name. I pray that you will make that surrender and commitment of your life today.